Welcome to my Soul Series. Soul Series is part of Oprah and Friends, exclusively on XM Radio Channel 156. And you can listen to the entire Soul Series collection on xmradio.com/Oprah.
Well, what I love for sure is an aha moment. You know what that is? That's when something inside of you clicks with something you've heard or see. And it resonates so deeply that it's like a rememory of what you already know. I've had powerful ones during our Soul Series, and I know you have too. We've gotten so many of your letters, and we want to know more. So today, I'm joined by Elizabeth Lesser. Many of you know her already from Soul Series and from A New Earth. We're going to open up our phones, talk to some of you, because I want to hear about your aha moments. We're going to share some of ours too. Join us. It's uplifting, enlightening, truly powerful. Welcome to Soul Series. Welcome to my Soul Series. As a gift following the 10-week online course that I hosted with Eckhart Tolle, my staff prepared a beautifully bound book here. Let me show you right here. Containing hundreds of heartfelt letters from so many of you, each of them describing aha moments that you encountered as a direct result of the online course and reading A New Earth. And I love the letters because while I could talk for days with spiritual teachers exploring various theories and philosophies, I always find it most impactful when I can hear how those practices have directly influenced those of you who are listening and viewing us, people who are not experts in their everyday lives. So we are well into our third season of Soul Series. So today I just wanted to talk to you and find out what aha moments you've experienced as a result of this show. And asked to join me is one of my favorite people today, fellow spiritual adventurer, Elizabeth Lesser. Elizabeth has been a guest here, not even a guest, you were doing a show here, doing Eckhart, many times. And you may remember that she hosted the live hour on Oprah and Friends Radio immediately following each simulcast of A New Earth. That's what she was doing. And for the past, is it 30 years now?
Yeah, 30 years.
You look so young. For 30 years, Elizabeth has studied and worked with leading figures in the field of healing, healing self, and healing society. And she's the co-founder and senior advisor of the Omega Institute for Holistic Studies. It is America's largest adult education center, focusing on wellness, on health and spirituality and creativity. And the author of The Seeker's Guide, and more recently, Broken Open, How Difficult Times Can Help Us Grow. Boy, is that a long introduction. That's a mouthful. Hi.
Hi. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to be here, too, because we get to talk to all of our listeners who have heard you and so many other people during our Soul Series. So let's mic up, put our earphones on here. Andres told me to press my hair back. Okay. So you did all this hair and makeup, and then you put on earphones in there.
Yeah, but you look beautiful.
And then so do you. Jeannie, welcome to my Soul Series. I understand your aha moment came as a result of something you heard from Wayne Dyer.
Yes.
Tell me.
It was when he said, ego, edging God out.
Oh, that's one of my favorite moments, too.
Yes. It made me realize that I want God in my life, so to be very careful of the ego. And last summer was a really difficult summer for me because we found out that my husband had cancer, and it went from Wayne Dyer to Eckhart Tolle. And, you know, I enjoy the Soul Series. It's really helped me get out of a slump that I was in last summer.
Did it really? That makes me feel so good.
It is. It has been awesome. And when Eckhart Tolle said, this too shall pass, with his very calm voice, it's become one of my new mantras. When I'm meditating, I think of Eckhart Tolle saying, yes, this too shall pass. And it's just been phenomenal.
We actually have those moments on audio, so I'm going to, for all the other people who did not hear, if you're listening to us right now and you didn't hear Wayne Dyer talk about the ego, let's hear that.
You know, it's like the first 9 months of your life. We go right back to your
That's
conception.
Right. You trusted God for everything.
Everything. You didn't say, oh, my God, I hope I get a nose and I hope it shows up in the right place.
Yes.
And you was total, completely into surrender.
Yes.
Then you come out. Okay, at the ninth month, or that you pop out and you get surrounded by people who say, that's really good work, God, really good work. We'll take over from here.
Yeah.
And the minute you start taking over from here, what happens is you develop an ego, which is where you edge God out. E-G-O, you edge God out. Okay? And so now,
well,
as
I never heard it that way before.
That's
that
right.
is so good.
Yeah. So you edge God out and you just push that to the side.
Good.
And what is this ego? What is it?
I'm going to be quoting you on that. God out. That's what
it's an idea, Oprah. It's all it is. It's an idea that we carry around. You know what the idea of the ego is? It says, I am what I have. I am what I do. I am what other people think of me. I'm separate from everybody else. I'm separate from what's missing in my life. And I'm separate from God.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's the moment, wasn't it, Jeannie?
It was. It definitely was.
Yeah.
You know what was one of my aha moments when we were working with Eckhart last year was when he talked about this too shall pass. I began to use it not just in the difficult times, but also when really great things were happening. Also using this too shall pass so we don't get attached to the good times and think that I want it to always be like this, so that when the more difficult times come, they don't feel like as much of a shock.
Yeah, one of the great things for me, Jeannie, about recognizing, first of all, through all difficult times, that's what's gotten me through in any crisis I've ever been in, is recognizing that it too shall pass. But also what you're also saying here too, Elizabeth, is understanding, and I probably didn't really get this until Eckhart Tolle and A New Earth this past spring, is that the great moments are going to pass too, and expect that. And that so often, Jeannie, we live in the space where we're always thinking that, okay, I'm happy now. And then when something difficult comes along or challenges come along, it's like, oh no, my life is out of sorts because of this difficulty. And not understanding that all of it is going to pass and is a part of the constant passing, that the ebb and flow of our lives.
Yes, part of our journey. That's how I look at it. You know, that these signs come into our lives for a reason, and you need to look at it.
Absolutely.
Yes, definitely.
Well, thank you for sharing that. It makes this part of my day even more meaningful, knowing that it has meant something to you personally.
And we hope your husband's health is improving.
Oh, it definitely is. It's definitely, everything is very good. Thank you very much for the Soul Series, and I'll continue to listen.
Thank you so much, Jeannie. You know, another thing I heard this summer was when I was talking up to Wayne Dyer was about his definition of coincidence. Let's listen to that a moment.
I've gotten to the point in my life and in my career where I listened when these sort of things that start coming at you from a distance and
that
you're not quite sure.
That appear to be coincidences.
They appear to be, but there's
no such thing.
Yeah, there's no coincidence. In fact, you know, the word coincidence itself is a mathematical term. You remember in geometry they would say two angles that coincide are said to be two angles that fit together perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've taken a term that means two things that fit together perfectly and interpreted it to mean something that fits together accidentally, which we've just reversed the whole concept of coincidence. It's coincide.
I just had an aha moment. I never heard it explained that way before.
Really?
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That still is. Well, first of all, I've known for I don't know how long that there is no such thing as coincidence. And when people say, oh, what a coincidence, or, you know, people call it serendipitous, I always think, oh, it's more of a God wink. It's like God showing his face in a way that you can.
Yeah. And sometimes if I'm really awake and aware, everything looks like a God wink. You know, sometimes we're so, like, dulled to life that we need those big God winks. But actually, just getting up every morning to me is a major God wink. What a miracle. What a miracle that we're even alive. To me, life is just one stream of coincidences.
Yeah, when I'm really operating on all cylinders, I'm there with you, Elizabeth. I'm talking to Elizabeth Lesser, who's author of Broken Open and The Seeker's Guide, and also has become a good friend of mine and one of my favorite spiritual adventurers. I feel that too, but if I get too out of sorts, if I get too unbalanced, if I'm, you know, more worried about what I'm going to do than really just being present in the moment, I lose that sense of alertness, that sense of being, you know, connected to all things. But there's nothing better than that.
Yes, absolutely. Then everything is just part of the menu of the day.
So we're here talking about spiritual ahas, and no better person to share this conversation with than Elizabeth Lesser, who wrote The Seeker's Guide and has experienced so many different religions. And I still get frustrated when people not just attack, but when people don't understand. You know, when we did this whole New Earth series, a lot of people were upset with me. And a lot of, you know, right-wing religious people, or I don't know if they were right-wing or what wing they were on, living on, but they were very upset because of they thought I was somehow interfering with their beliefs or doctrines or whatever. And it was, for me, I was so frustrated. Not because people were attacking me about it, but because I thought if you just would read the book and if you just would understand that spirituality and religion are completely not the same thing.
Well, they serve each other.
They serve each other.
Yeah. Religions were founded for all these years to be a springboard into spirit.
Yes.
Spirit doesn't really need anything. It's already there. It's everything. These religions are beautiful ways of diving, you know, think of them as the diving board and you jump on it into spirit. But people mistake the religion as what religion is pointing toward. And that's when the problem happens.
Yes, and religion is pointing toward the spirit. That's what it's there to guide us into the into the spirit. And you don't need religion to be spiritual.
You don't. And religions are wonderful springboards. They've helped me enormously. Scripture in many different religions have been so helpful to me. But, you know, I was also shocked by the amount and the strength of criticism.
Yeah. You had told me going in when we first started doing A New Earth, you'd said, be prepared for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, no, I don't think that's going to happen because really we're not trying to tell people what to do. We're just here offering this as an opportunity to awaken to a new way of thinking about your life. And really, when you're talking about ridding yourself of the ego, who can complain about that?
Well, one of the guests you had on Soul Series, Ed Bacon.
Yes.
Who I just thought he was magnificent on this topic. And he said something that when astronauts have said, when you're just about to break the sound barrier, the cockpit rattles.
Yeah.
And I think in a way, what you did with Eckhart was so radical, so on the edge of breaking the sound barrier of this new way of thinking, that that's why you got such a strong reaction.
Well, But you mentioned Ed Bacon, and we have him here on tape.
Jesus over and over said, as you well know,
the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Exactly. The kingdom of God is within you.
Yes.
And your faith has made you well. Mm-hmm. And the first chapter of the Gospel of John says the light that was in every human being is now come into the world. Mm-hmm. The Bible itself talks about the divinity within each one of us.
Right, right. Yes, and for so many people, I think that, you know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the divinity being within you, those are just words. And that the very idea, because when you, as I know you have, often connected to that space of the divine within yourself, when you do that, there is no price, no money, no fame, no attention, no nothing on earth that can compare to that.
And it has no name.
And it has no name.
It has no religion, no race. Nothing of this human realm is trapped in those moments.
So I understand Krista had an aha moment based on something that was said. Krista?
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Thank you so much for being fearless and having this show on, because for me, I feel like I've always been on a spiritual adventure, but I think I was at a crossroads where I didn't know where to go next. And between Eckhart's book of going to my inner voice and just being still, I just knew it. I knew what he was talking about, and it was almost as if I had forgotten. And once I accessed that voice, it then led me to Elizabeth's book, The Seeker's Guide, and thank you for that, because I then learned what meditation was, because I think I always thought meditation was more of a stress reliever.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is that. And
Yeah. And I think I would sit there and I'd be like, okay, no, this is stressing me out more.
Yeah.
To sit here.
All these thoughts coming in my mind, coming.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, okay. I'm supposed to meditate. Okay, am I there yet? Yeah.
And so with Elizabeth, you helped me, you know, walked me through it so beautifully. And then you also had a guest, John Kabat-Zinn.
Yes.
Who helped with just his simple saying, thinking, or, you know, planning your day, you know, and just trying to bring myself back to the breath and back to that stillness.
Wow.
And yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I think everybody thinks that meditation is about trying to get somewhere or trying to achieve some kind of state. What do you want to say about that, Lizzie?
One of your radio producers and I were talking about that before the show, and we were likening meditation to, I think I've talked to you about this before, tuning the radio dial. You know how the radio dial, you can choose a angry talk radio station, or you can choose really nice music, and our minds are like that. We can actually choose at any time what we're going to allow into our you know, the brain, to me, is like a receiver. Our soul is there waiting for us to tune it in. And meditation is a fine tuning device where we sit still and we tune and tune and tune until we get the most clear and still station on the dial, which is our soul.
Woo, that's good. Boy, wasn't that good, Krista?
Oh, it was so good. And another great...
I love it when that happens.
Oh, my gosh. And when Elizabeth, you talked about ego as kind of like gravity. That was very helpful to me to understand.
Oh, good. I'm glad
the ego
to hear that.
Through. Yes.
Well, John Kabat-Zinn, as you mentioned, also talks about befriending your breathing. Listen to this.
Befriend your breathing. And just... ride, surf on the waves of your own breathing, and it has a natural calming effect that centers you back in the present moment, because none of us care about the last breath. It's always this breath that's the important one for us.
Right.
So that brings us into the present moment in a way that can then give us a sense of, hey, I can actually be in an okay relationship to this full catastrophe and learn how to shift in certain ways in relationship to it emotionally, cognitively, so that I can actually ride on the waves of what's going on with me and maybe have a different perspective on it.
I love that idea, too, of riding the wave.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. But what really, you just explained it, so I had a light bulb moment just listening to you just then, Lizzie, because... being able to tune in to your own soul. That's what you're trying to really do.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the other complaints that we got a lot during teaching this, during the Eckhart event, was, well, if I get so peaceful, then, like, I'll just sort of become self-centered and never do anything for the world. And that's another big misperception about spirituality.
That's so crazy.
It is crazy, because the more attuned you become to your full aliveness...
Yes, the more energized you become.
Yeah, and the more you feel connected with other beings, and you can't do anything but help people.
Yes, and when you are connected to the real reason why you're here, you're connected to purpose, and you are connected to the greatest part of your spirit, then you act out, you then act out of the truth of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you honor that, that is your calling. That is why you're here. Doctor, thank you so much, Krista. Thanks for talking to us. Dr. Sandow is on the phone. Welcome to our Soul Series. I'm here with Elizabeth Lesser. What was your aha moment?
Hi, Oprah. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, welcome. Welcome.
My aha moment, Oprah, was back in May. I had started listening to the Soul Series, and a couple of Byron Katie interviews had caught my attention, where she focused on being in the now. And for me, that was just really, really great, because I was dealing with some things in terms of my career, personally and professionally, and to just have that concept of being in the now and not focusing on where life may go and take me and whatnot was really, really powerful for me. And it just, it helped me get through that time in my life, and it's something I'll never forget because it was a hard time. And so for me, I think that was just my moment, you know, just being here.
And do you practice it often?
You know what, Oprah? Yeah, it's a common thing for me, like just in terms of my background and where my parents have come from, and they've brought me to this place in my life where I'm able to be a physician and give back to humanity and also be motivated to start many other things in my life. It's a daily constant reminder of just, you know, don't focus on the past. It's kind of like what Marianne Williamson had said on one of the Soul Series about, you know, the past is over and it can touch me not.
Yeah.
And just that concept of being alive and being who we are today, and it sort of relates to, you know, the new earth and Tolle and that whole concept of just being alive in this moment. And that to me was just, well, it resonated with me, and it's helped me tap into a creative side of me. I've started my own clothing line. It's just opened up a new world for me.
Yeah, accepting and, that the only moment is now.
Yes.
And that
yes,
the past has no power over this moment unless you choose to let it.
Yeah, exactly. So
gone.
For me, that was just amazingly powerful.
Well, thank you, Dr. Sandhu. What are you a doctor of?
Dr. Sandhu, I'm actually family medicine, and I'm going into a sports specialty.
How fantastic.
Yes. So it's wonderful to be a part of the Soul Series, and I think it's a great way to connect with other people that are dealing with similar issues in life. You know, it's a journey that we take together.
Yeah.
Do you
feel other people who are also seeking the same thing? I mean, we are all seekers, and the difference is that some of us know it, and a lot of people don't, but we all see.
Have you found that the way you practice medicine and the way you are with your patients has changed from adopting this new way of being?
You know what? It has, because when you're
good
with
question.
Patients and when you're focusing on their care, you're sort of being, again, in the present with them, and you're working on them as a person, as a whole. You're not just focusing on that ailment that they may have or that issue they may have, but it becomes sort of more like a holistic approach to the practice of medicine itself, which I think makes a difference in how I go about it daily. So definitely, yes. It helps me to stay focused. You know, I'm not worrying about things that may happen or things that have happened. It helps me be with them at that moment.
That's wonderful.
And
yeah.
To me, it's very powerful.
It is very powerful. Thanks so much, Dr. Sandhu. And also, you know, when you do that, it's the thing that Eckhart talked about all the time when he said, you know, not identifying objects, not trying to label things, and therefore not labeling yourself and labeling mm-hmm. other people. That's, you start with nature, things first. When you can do that, it makes everything spectacular.
Yeah, I remember when you had one of those big aha moments under your trees.
Yeah, under my trees.
He had told you, he had told all of us, go out into nature and don't call a tree a tree. Just be there. Just be with it. And you loved that.
I love that. And I also, you know, it made me look at, you know, I have a wonderful garden in California. And to walk around that garden and not label them, you know, and I used to be so into, what kind of rose is this? This is a Marilyn Monroe rose. This is a Barbara Streisand rose. This is this rose. This is called Fragrant God. And then to just now walk in the garden without trying to know the names of every plant and species and so, and just, I mean, when I can do that, when I can open myself up to that, the experience is so big that it literally changes me.
Yeah, and then we can go out into the garden of people.
Yes,
the garden of the people in our life, and not label them. Oh, that's that person who did wrong to me last week. That's that jerk at work. That's that
right.
Republican. That's and we just can loosen the boundaries a little bit.
So listen to this. It's a perfect example that we're not our thoughts. Here is E.T., Eckhart Tolle, explains who I am if I'm not my thoughts.
Who you are cannot be defined through thinking or through mental labels or mental definitions, because it is beyond that. It is the very sense of beingness or presence that is there when you become conscious of the present moment. It's intrinsically one with what we call the present moment. You, I sometimes say, some people might find this a little strange, but in essence, you and what we call the present moment at the deepest level are one.
I love it when he laughs, don't you? He goes, I know, really, I haven't heard his voice in a while. Just hearing his voice, I go, oh, I have to tell you that that experience, working with you, preparing the workbooks every week, and having you do the after show, after the show of the webcast, was one of the most exciting things that happened. Well, Sergio, the most exciting thing that happened to me all year, and the thing that I most look forward to doing, mm-hmm. no matter what was going on in my life, just knowing that I had those Mondays for 10 weeks.
Me too. I loved them. I loved every moment of it. I remember telling you, I even loved moments sitting in the airport, and since I was traveling from New York to Chicago every week for 12 yeah. weeks, and inevitably flying in the winter into O'Hare, the yes. planes were always being canceled. Be like, your flight is delayed for 7 hours. I'd be like, okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Because I was so in that practice. Yes. Spirituality is a practice. And so I was really in it in a big way of accepting each moment. And it worked.
Yeah. And then when it was over, what did you feel?
You know, it was such a dose. I got such a dose of it that when it was over, maybe normally I'd feel a big letdown, uh-huh. but I didn't.
Now, that so surprised me, because here you are, co-founder of Omega Institute, the largest university for adult studies of spirituality and wellness and well-being in the United States of America. You have, what, 25,000 people come to your campus every year. You do this. This is what you do for a living. So I was surprised and stimulated, actually. Got a little thrill that you were so excited about doing this with us, with a new earth, mm-hmm. because I thought, well, God, how she's going to be bored doing this because she does this all the time. How was it different?
It was different on two levels. One was, it was going to reach millions of people all over the world. Mm-hmm. Now, I know the work I've done over the years. If you multiply 20,000 people a year by 30 years, and it's touched a lot of people. But this was on a whole different level. It was going to be touching all sorts of people.
Yeah.
From all walks of life. All countries. That was an enormous thrill to me, because I think this work has the potential to do, as his title suggests, help birth a new earth. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was exciting. And the other exciting thing for me was, you know, even though I write about this, talk about it, practicing it is a whole different thing.
That's right.
And in the rush and tumble of everyday life for me and everyone else, we know this stuff and we forget it. We forget it, we remember it, we forget it. But if you are actually practicing, meditating, reading, studying, it gets in your cells. And I was excited for an opportunity once again, because I have done long retreats.
Yep.
But this was like one long retreat. This was a 4-month retreat for me, because the minute the show was over, I'd get back into reading the book and creating lessons for the online workbook. So I was in retreat, and I was deeply grateful for it.
Well, and I was so grateful to have you be a part of it with us, and it was such a, you know, spiritually uplifting time for me also, even though I lost my Sophie during the second week. But and I think doing this work is what helped me get through it. But I have to say, too, that beginning January 5th through the 9th, and on our television show, and also on XM here with Oprah and Friends, we're going to be doing a similar kind of thing with different experts. I'm doing an entire Live Your Best Life week, and starting off January 5th, and then we're going to have webcasts beginning January 12th. So we'll be giving you more information about it. But I'm doing a Best Life series, because the New Earth series was so exciting that to have an opportunity to expand that and do that with other people was so fantastic. One of the biggest spiritual breakthroughs that we can have, I think, was explained by Eckhart. Listen to this.
Most people are not aware that they have a little man or woman in their head that keeps talking and talking. So there's a voice in the head that's the internal dialogue that most people are completely identified with. It's essential for people to become aware that their thought processes and the sense of self that is derived from their thinking, which includes, of course, all one's memories, all one's conditioning, one's sense of self is a conceptual one that is derived from the past. And it's always a breakthrough when people for the first time realize, here's my thinking, here are all the habitual thoughts that I've been having, repetitive thoughts, And they suddenly realize, and here I am, knowing that these thoughts are going through my head. So the identification is suddenly broken. And that is, for many people, the first real spiritual breakthrough.
Wow. And that is the moment, recognizing that you are not your thoughts mm-hmm. in your head. There are so many wonderful aha moments. This half hour is up. I don't know where it went, but we'll be back next week. Elizabeth Lesser joins me again as we talk to you about your aha moments regarding your own spiritual path as you continue to seek your own way. Thanks so much for joining us here on Oprah and Friends, XM 156. Thanks, Lizzie.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this edition of our Soul Series. These are some of my favorite conversations.
To hear more, sign up for a free 30-day XM radio trial by going to www.xmradio.com/Oprah.